Well, welcome everyone to Northwoods Online. We are glad you're here with us today. My name's Nathan.
And I'm Jason, and it is so good to be with you this morning. For you guys that are new here, one of the best ways for you to get connected is to text the word new to the number on the screen right there. And that will get you in touch with one of our staff pastors. And they'd love to hear how you heard about Northwoods, or maybe you have questions about what's going on here at Northwoods. They can answer any of those. And it's just you and that staff pastor. And we'd love for you to take that opportunity.
We love our new people.
We do.
Absolutely love new people. We truly do want to meet you. So take advantage of that opportunity. And also, maybe you're not new and you've been here every single Sunday nice and faithfully, jump in the chat, let us know where you're joining from, throw your name in there, introduce yourself to some other people, get a little, you know, fellowship, little conversation rolling.
One thing you can do there too, Nathan, is you can actually get prayer.
No way.
You can get prayer anytime in the chat. You can actually get private prayer. So you can just say, hey, I would love somebody just to step aside and just pray with me. And they can do that in one of our chat rooms. And we have people that are trained to do that. And they would love to just get with you and partner with you in prayer. So click on that private chat and they'd love to pray with you today.
That's right. And that means that, you know, no one is going to see. Everyone else is joining. They're not going to see what you're requesting prayer for. So you can have private prayer. That's nice and safe with another prayer team member. But today, we're jumping right into another message in our seven series when we're talking about the seven redemptive names of God. Yes. And today we're talking about the Lord is my shepherd. We have Pastor Jeremy Kilgore with us. So he's from the Ascent Church in Galesburg. They were actually used to be Northwoods
Galesburg,
right? And they felt the leading of the Lord to go a different direction. And we're excited that they're with us today. So you're going to hear from him. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be encouraged by it. All right. So grab your Bible, get some notes out, whatever else you need, because Northwoods Online.
Good morning, Northwoods. Let's stand together. We're here to worship our King. He is so faithful. He is good. Do you agree with that this morning? He is good. Yes, Lord. Sing. When I'm in the roughest water, I won't go under, I won't drown. And when I'm in over my head, I know that you won't let me down. And when I'm broken and I'm nothing, come on, sing. I know that you are always up to something good.
and the Lord is our banner. That means that in him we have victory. Victory in our relationships, victory over whatever is going on in our lives. So let's sing out to the one who is worthy, to the one in whom we have victory. Lord, you are greatly to be praised, and your faithfulness surrounds you as all of heaven stands amazed, and creation bows before you. Lord, we bow before you. There's only one who is worthy, who overcomes, who will never fail. Light of the world, everlasting, Jesus, you are Lord of
magnify you, Lord. Sing it. act of submission. And we worship him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, because he is worthy. He alone is worthy. So let's give ourselves to him completely this morning. No one but you, Jesus, is worthy of this. We'll stand for you. Stand for you, Jesus. Sing it. And I won't bow to idols. I'll stand strong and worship you. And if it puts me in the fire, I'll rejoice because you're there too. And I won't.
21, it tells us that God made Christ, who knew no sin, to become sin for us. So the why, church? It's because we would then be able to be made right with the Father. And that is good news today. Thank you, Jesus. Savior, thank you for taking our sin upon yourself and dying on the cross, for shedding your blood for us so that we can have eternity in heaven with you. Thank you, Lord, that we can cast our sins on you, Lord, and know that you will bear them for us. Lord, we pray that you would go before us. Lord, guide us and direct us. Holy Spirit, we invite you here today. We invite you to be in our hearts, Lord. Move us and draw us closer to you, Lord. And help us walk away today knowing that you are our Heavenly Father and our Shepherd. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. You guys can have a seat. And while you're at it, say a quick hello to those around you. Well, we're so glad you're here today. My name is Janine, and we are happy to have you here. And if this is your first time joining us, we'd love to connect with you and answer any questions you may have. You can text the word new to the number on the screen, and someone will reach out to you later this week. Now, for everyone else, this is an excellent time to open your connection card in the Northwoods mobile app. Now, while you're in there, you can let us know you're here, but more importantly, you can click on some of the things that are listed there that you're going to hear me share about, some classes and different events. You can click in there and get more information and get registered for those. So go ahead and open that and get ready. Now, there's something else that's a really cool feature in the app, and that is Discoveryland check-in. If you have kids in our children's ministry, you can check them in before you even get to church. So one of those, you know, stressful mornings where it feels like you can't get everybody out the door and the kids are fighting in the back seat, you get to the church, you check them in the parking lot, you get them in, scan your QR code, stick that name tag on them and send those sweet babies right on in where they're going to be loved on, and you can come here and hear the word. So use that app. It's an awesome feature. Well, we hope that you'll join us again next week as we continue in our series seven, about the seven redemptive names of God. And next week, Pastor Jason Gilmore is going to be here. He's our Canton campus pastor, and he is going to be sharing Jehovah Tsidkenu. Try to say that one three times real fast. He's going to be teaching on the Lord, our righteousness, and I'm really looking forward to what he's going to have to say for us. Now, we want to say thank you for your continued generosity, and we hope that the many variety of different giving options that are available help you to sustain whatever giving commitment God has laid on your heart. And you can give by dropping in any of the drop boxes that are located around the building, or you can use the mobile app, you can go to the website, or you can text the word new to the number on your screen. Well, this morning we have some special guests with us that we're excited to introduce you to. So Pastor Craig, who is our missions pastor and the director of our Northwood School of Ministry, is going to come and welcome Pastor Sam and Esther, who are our strategic ministry partners in the India South region.
Thank you, Jimmy. What an honor to be your
missions pastor. An honor because I have the distinct privilege of getting to stand alongside some of my favorite people on the planet. I mean, these wonderfully gifted and anointed leaders who are serving globally and investing resources to see God's kingdom expand globally. Sam and Esther are some of my favorites. They are here with us. It's been 3 years since they've been able to travel outside of their country. We're so glad that they're here with us today. We wish Joy and Jesse could be here, hopefully soon. Those are their sons, aged 22 and 20, all part of Zek Ministry. And about, I think, 4 years ago, maybe five, you stood on this very stage. You heard Pastor Cal extend kind of a vision, a kind of a shout out that we're going to plant 3,000 churches globally by the year 2030. And I remember Sam saying, I'll do all 3,000. Let me just say, Sam and Esther lead the way. 129 church planters to date, and that number is growing. Sam says 138. He may have a better count than I do. We're so pleased. You're going to see on the side screen some of their pictures just to give you a sense about how this is happening in India. And we want to encourage you to come this Saturday from 3 to 7. Sam and Esther will give a report in our atrium here on the Peoria campus. You'll need to register if you'd like to come and hear that report so we know you're coming and we can plan for the right number of people. But they'll be telling some of the stories of those church planters. Some of you may want to join a small team that in the next few months will actually travel to India to be with Sam and Esther and meet some of those church planters face to face. Wouldn't that be cool? We'd love to have some of you join us. This week on our website, we'll be updating information that'll allow you to know how you can be participant in that. One of my favorite things to do when I travel globally, really on Northwood's behalf, is to hear the languages that are spoken that are different than English. Sam and Esther speak English well. But I asked Sam if he would pray for us today in their native tongue, Telugu, and just pray a prayer thanking God for his incredible provision and for our partnership here at Northwood. So Sam, would you pray for us, please?
Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Pradhan Chestanam, Prabhu Yesu Namalo Pradhan Chestanam, Prabhu Northwood Church members, families, staff, the pastors, Prabhu Andarni Namalo Bhadraparustunnanu, Veeru Chestunna Prabhu, Vidvithutunna Vithanam, 30 60 నూరుదిగా వీరి జీవితంలో పలించిన కృప చేయండి. ప్రతి విధమైన కృప, ప్రతి విధమైన ఆశీర్వాదం ఈ చర్చ్ మెంబర్స్ అనుభవించిన కృప చేయమనవచ్చు. వీళ్ళందరినీ నామంలో భద్రపరుస్తూ యేసు నామంలో ఈ ప్రార్థన విన్నపం అడుగుచున్నాము తండ్రి. ఆమేన్. ఆమేన్.
థ్యాంక్ యూ సామ్.
థ్యాంక్ యూ పాస్టర్ క్రేగ్. థ్యాంక్ యూ పాస్టర్ సామ్ అండ్ ఎస్టర్ ఫర్ అలౌయింగ్ గాడ్ టు వర్క్ విత్ యు ఇన్ సచ్ ఎన్ ఇన్క్రెడిబుల్ వే. Well, if you would like to know more about their ministry or you'd like to meet Pastor Sam and Esther, they are going to be at a table right here out here in the lobby after the service. So please go in, introduce yourself and get to know them a little bit better. Now, when you had your connection card open, you may have seen Alpha listed as one of the options in there. This is one of Northwood's core classes, and it's a great place to explore some of the biggest questions about the Christian life. It's a safe environment where you can ask some hard questions, where you can really discuss doubts and ideas, and you can learn and understand what God's plan is for us. Another great thing about Alpha is it's a great place to make friends. Many of the Alpha groups who meet together throughout that course go on to be small groups once it's over. So it's a great place to learn more about God and get to know other Christians. Now, the class starts August 30th, and we are excited this year because we're going to be offering it in person and online. And you can learn more about that by clicking on the app right there in the connection card, or just going to the app or going to our website. But today, we also have a table out in the lobby with some people there who can answer questions you may have and help you get a better understanding of what it's about. So check out Alpha. Now, for families who have kids in Discoveryland, we have a family fun night this Friday, July 29th. Discoveryland is hosting a pool party in Peoria at the clubs at River City and in Chillicothe at the Shore Acres Park. Now, in Peoria, it is free, and in Chillicothe, there's a minimal fee. But it is going to be a fun night of hanging out with Discoveryland staff and other Christian families that call Northwoods home. So get signed up. It's this Friday, July 29th. You can click in the connection card, or you can go to the mobile app or go to the website and get your family signed up. Well, that's all I have for you this morning. So now I'm going to hand you over to Pastor John.
Hey, Northwoods, great to have you with us this Sunday. I'm super excited as we have a very special guest speaker here with us today who is a longtime friend of Northwoods, actually worked on staff at Northwoods several years back. Jeremy Kilgore is a pastor on staff at the Ascent Church in Galesburg, which you may or may not know. The Ascent Church was really birthed out of our Galesburg multi-site campus that we launched back in 2011. So from 2011 to 2021, they were one of our multi-sites, but then in 2021, with our blessing, they went autonomous and they are now the Ascent Church in Galesburg. We really view them as one of our church plants. And we are so excited to have Jeremy here with us because, again, we want to continue to have ongoing relationships with the churches that come out of Northwoods in the future. And so I'm excited to have Jeremy here with us. He's a longtime friend of mine. I served alongside him in student ministry when I served in Galesburg. He actually helped me with a few technology things when he was on our IT team here at Northwoods even before that. So will you help me to welcome our good friend, Jeremy Kilgore?
Good morning. Thank you guys so much. It is truly an honor to be here. I cannot stress that enough. As John said, really, I actually started working on staff here in 2007, which means I feel really old because it's been so long, but it was such an amazing journey to get to be a part of Northwoods for as long as I was, and really just to see it evolve. And I was just kind of thinking, sitting back here, that I remember one of my earliest days on staff, and I was sitting just back in the back of the auditorium before the balcony was there, and I remember thinking, it's really amazing that everything that's here, everything that's happening, like there's nothing that can be accomplished in this place or through this organization if it's not for your guys' generosity. And you guys have shown that in amazing ways. And so I just want to commend you guys. And so you know that this is coming from a completely earnest place, that you guys are doing amazing things and truly understand that the church is a group of people and you guys are doing phenomenally. Keep it up. Keep supporting the mission here. And thank you so much for the part that I had in that. I want to tell you just a couple of things about me before we get started. As John, he gave you a little introduction. And as he said, I actually started off in IT. I still do some IT consulting, as well as being one of the pastors of the Ascent in Galesburg. And in my free time, I have a wife and three kids, okay? So that's what I do to fill the rest of my days. And I think we've got a picture of them there. If you guys end up seeing them around, make sure you say hi. I'm going to try, and I really hope my kids don't do anything to embarrass me this morning, but they're rough and tumble. I love it. Absolutely rambunctious, high energy. You know, it's one of those things where you pray that your kids would be bold and courageous, that they'd be strong and leaders, but then you realize you really just don't want them to do that while they're your kids, right? You want them to do that when they're adults. But no, they're wonderful. And so I'm so excited to be here. As John said, we know I'm one of the pastors of the Ascent. And I just want to tell you a little bit, because as he said, what happened there is, as a church campus, and so shout out to the other campuses and the people online, but as a campus, you know, one of the things that happens is you really, like, I have such a burden for our community, for the people of Galesburg and the surrounding areas. We wanted to see just tremendous things happen. And kind of to the point that Craig made as he was talking about Sam and Esther, that as we started talking about as a church here at Northwoods, as Cal shared the vision about 3,000 plants, we started saying, well, hold on. If that's what our focus is, what does it look like for us to have a unique footprint and DNA in our city, to be able to reach them in new and exciting ways, and to see that become what is now the Ascent Church, it's just been phenomenal. And so I just want to ask you guys to pray for us. I know many of you have been lifting us up and supporting us, but we truly see ourselves as partners in ministry with you guys. We're excited about these opportunities, and thank you guys for everything. So pray for us as we continue. And I want to get into the message here, but the first thing I'm going to do is I want you guys to kind of take a breath. I know we're getting used to each other since I'm new to you guys, but I want you to just take a second. Tell somebody next to you, what are you doing here? Okay, just take a minute and tell somebody next to you to say, what are you doing here? Okay, good. All right. I love to share stories when I speak, and so I want to tell you this story, and it's about the people of God. If you're somebody that takes notes and wants to go back, I'm going to kind of fly through this, but this is in 1 Kings. It's chapters like 17 through 1 Kings 18 and into. It's the story of Elijah the prophet, but what you need to know is that the people of God had been through the ringer a little bit. You see, this is the post-Davidic era where King David had passed on the mantle to Solomon, right? And Solomon did his best. He did some good things. He built the temple, but he also did a lot of things he should not have done, okay? There were some rules that he broke. He had some particular tendencies, but he went on, passed it on to his son, and things just continued to kind of spiral. The people of God actually separated. They divided the land. And what we see is that there was this kind of cycle of kings that existed between the northern part and the southern part of God's people. There were over 20 kings that happened in this period of time. And out of those 20, there were only 8 that we could attribute some goodness to. Only 8 out of the 20. And we're going to talk about a king that happened to be a part of the northern area. His name was King Ahab. Now, you may be familiar. If you're not, King Ahab was a man that did not follow after God, okay? He was not someone who listened and did what he should have done. And one of the biggest things that he's known for is really who his wife was. It was a woman named Jezebel. Now, Jezebel not only came into his family, was the queen, but she brought a lot of baggage with her in the form of the worship of other gods. She was able to kind of get a stranglehold on these people and get them worshiping a god named Baal, right? And so this was just an era of time where things were not good for the people of God, where they had this king who was not following the Lord, and his wife was actively just spiraling things out. And what the Bible says about this time, it says, Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than any of the kings of Israel who were before him. How would you like that to be what was on your tombstone? That you had done more to anger the Lord than anyone else before you. Like, that's quite a statement to be known. And so we pick up our story knowing that the king Ahab is ruling over these people. And what does God do when he wants to bring his people back to him, when he wants to show them what he wants for them? The Lord sends a prophet. And so Elijah walks onto the scene. He's ready. He's the voice of God. That carries some responsibility, doesn't it? He's the one that is going to call these people into repentance. And task number one for him, he's got to walk right up to the door, knock. And he's got to tell Ahab, he ain't doing right. He ain't doing right. That's the official language. You can write that down if you want. No, but he has to confront the king. And the king's already started worshiping these other gods. And so he has to tell them, hey, this is not what you should be doing. And as he walks up, he says, the Lord, the God of Israel, lives before whom I stand. There shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. Now, I think this is a little interesting because I know if somebody walked up and knocked on my door and said, hey, by the way, it's not going to rain for years, I would immediately think they're crazy. That's just what it would be. So when I read this, I think, how long did it take? How long do you think it took? Was it a matter of days? Weeks? Did they start by slowly understanding and saying, you know, when was the last time it rained? You remember that? I don't know. You know what also? Have you noticed? Like, I got up early yesterday. I went outside and the grass wasn't wet. It's also, I think, aggressive. As Elijah confronted Ahab, he said, that there's not going to be any rain for years. Years. He didn't start with a general statement like, hey, it's going to stop raining. He didn't go for, well, there'll be days and those will stretch into weeks and those will go into months. No, he went straight to years. But I think it's interesting because what happens at some point, they figured out that this man was actually speaking for God. Maybe that these things really were happening, and they began to search for these people that followed this God. They wanted Elijah back because he said that it's not going to rain again until he gives the word. And what does Elijah do after he confronts Ahab? What any self-respecting, God-fearing, you know, strong in the power of the Spirit man does, right? He ran away. Says he took off running, and God had to kind of stop him, and he says, whoa, hey, slow down. Go east. Go by the brook. It's over by the Jordan River. Take a beat. Sit down and rest. And I've got a couple of birds that are going to set up a little pop-up shop and feed you lunch, okay? But go over here. And the Lord tended to Elijah. He fed him, gave him rest. And we see in the story, there's some other things that you may be familiar with. He ended up coming upon this widow and her son who thought they were going to die, and he stayed with them for a while. They gave him some food. But after a period of time, he was back up. It was time for him to go back to the king. So he'd had some time away, but he needed to go back and confront King Ahab. The Lord said, go, you confront him, and I will bring the rains. And so Elijah heads back into what should look like certain doom. They had been rounding up the people of God, killing the prophets. And Elijah just walks straight into that, knocks on the door again. He goes, oh, hey, were you looking for me? I'm back. And what happens next is a showdown. You see, we've got to settle some scores here. We can't allow people to be coming in and making claims like this. We worship the God Baal now. King Ahab has established this, and we can't have the prophets of God speaking like this, saying this. So he rounded up 450 prophets of Baal. 450. They build an altar. And it's a race to the finish, right? First God to light the altar wins. So Elijah kicks back. Just go ahead. You guys go. And these prophets start calling down the fire. They're worshiping. They're doing their rituals, going all out, everything they can. And nothing is happening. Elijah's just watching. Every now and then just hurling an insult in as they're crying for Baal to come down to burn this altar. And then Elijah goes, hey, maybe he's just in the bathroom and he doesn't hear you. But nothing happens. 450 prophets of Baal, and they can't make anything happen. Elijah steps up. It's his turn. But we can't just follow that act. We gotta raise the stakes. And so they build this thing up. He says, let's pour some water on it. Let's make this harder. And they pour a bottle or bucket after bucket of water onto the altar. And he calls out on the name of the Lord. And there, the altar is consumed. The prophets of Baal are killed. And again, Elijah is vindicated as the voice of God. We see this amazing power put on display. And what does he do? He runs away. Now, for sure, they were gonna kill him. But he ran away. Can you imagine being somewhere where you are fulfilling your purpose? You are living out what you were created to do. You had just seen some of the most amazing works of God. And then to be so scared that you run away. He runs and he tells God, just let me die. I'm the only one left.
Just let me die. And the Lord says, go up the mountain. And Elijah goes up. And it says that the Lord passed by and he brought a strong wind. But he wasn't in the wind. And he made an earthquake happen and he wasn't in the earthquake. He brought fire. And he wasn't in that. And then Elijah heard a whisper. And he walked out, covered his face, and experienced the presence of God. God let him know he wasn't alone. Elijah was a prophet who spoke for God. He was the voice of the Most High. He called the people back into obedience, and at the height of his accomplishment of witnessing God's power, he was running for his life. And when I think about this story and what was happening with Elijah, it's a little hard to connect somewhat, because right now we live in one of the most safest times that have ever existed. Now we have our troubles and there are some problems and things that are going on, but for us physically, we are in one of the safest moments to exist. You are less likely now to get hurt in an accident or get injured or fall ill or to do that than ever before. And again, not to say that those things don't happen, but we are less likely, we are more safe than we've ever been. And when you look at some of our history, it's amazing where we came from. Like, if you check this picture out, we didn't always have some of the same regard for safety. OSHA would shut that down today. You'd never be able to get past that, the fines and regulatory. But right now, we exist in one of the safest times. And we're more connected now to each other than ever before, right? Each of us right now in our pockets holds a device that can connect us instantly with anyone else in the world. We have the power to be able to come together as a people. And what do we use it for? To make dance videos, right? Like, that's what we do. But we are more connected than ever. That's all I've got for TikTok. I'm sorry. That's more connected. You know, we used to have to wait days for news to hear about what was going on. Or if you like sports, oh my goodness, you had to wait for them to be printed in a paper. I can now know instantly when Pastor John's going to be in a bad mood because the Packers lost. I know immediately. But despite being in the safest time, despite being more connected, most people say right now that they are in some way unhappy or unfulfilled with where they are at in their life and are experiencing more worry and stress than ever. And so if today you're somebody that wants to see what the cure for the generation is, to know what the solution for the culture and society is, I don't have that. I'm sorry. That's not what I was brought to preach on. But if you want to know what each of us can do, if you want to know what it is that God has done to give us a chance in this society, with this culture, to be able to live out what he's called us to live out, that's what we're going to talk about today. We're in this series called Seven, and you guys know we're talking about the seven redemptive names of God, and you've heard several of these over the last few weeks, but today I'm going to talk about Jehovah Rohi, which means the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And when I think about this story of Elijah, I think it lines up perfectly to show us what we need to know about this. Because as we know, if people are not experiencing that fulfillment, if we, like Elijah, can still see the work of God but wonder why, what's going on, we have to understand this, that our fulfillment doesn't come from what we do, but who we follow. Say this with me. Say, it's not what you do, it's who you follow. It's not what you do, it's who you follow. And so if you want to turn with me in your Bibles, we're going to take a look at Psalm 23. If you've got either your Bibles with you, the YouVersion app, however you like to, they'll also put it on the screen. But I want to share with you Psalm 23, and this is probably familiar with a lot of you, but Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. Yes. Amen. This is a verse that you will hear a lot of times used in memorial services or funerals. And what kind of saddens me about that is I feel like that means that we don't really use it to apply in our day-to-day life, that we don't take these words and let them soak in. The Lord is my shepherd. This is something that has to be true for us, that we have to understand this concept. And what's actually really awesome about Psalm 23, as we are in this series, Psalm 23 really represents all of the other names of God. They're all in here, rolled up, showing us the way. But the Lord is my shepherd. I don't know about you, but for me, honestly, I've never been a shepherd. I don't know people who are shepherds. I've got a really small understanding of sheep in general. And so I had to kind of think through. I knew from just reading the Bible that shepherds show up somewhat regularly, that we know that they were around when Jesus was born, right? While shepherds keep their watching, if you get all of your theology from Christmas songs, but they were there at the birth of Christ. And we know that King David himself, before he was anointed king, before he had battled, right before he had battled Goliath, he was a shepherd. He was tending to flocks. And we know Moses was walking out the life of a shepherd as he had escaped Egypt. And right before, when he was coming to the presence of God through the burning bush, was tending to sheep. Shepherds are shown a lot of stories in the Bible. But when you want to know what a shepherd is, I had put this together because the task of a shepherd was to care for the flock, to find grass and water and protect it from wild animals. Their job was to look for any sheep that might have strayed. They would lead the flock out each day, going before the flock and returning it at night. And at times, if they led the flock far from home, they would need to protect the animals, and they would build a makeshift pen, lead the sheep in, and the shepherd would sleep at the entrance just to make sure that no predators or attackers could come. You see, the shepherds do not own the sheep. When we talk about the shepherds in the Bible, they are just responsible for them. If they happen to have lost a sheep, they would be responsible for replacing it, for the cost involved in that sheep. And this, I tell you, just brings a whole new view to Luke 15 when we know the parable of the lost sheep, that, yeah, he's going to leave that 99 and go find that one because he doesn't have the bills in his pocket to pay for it, right? It's going to go after that one. And what we're told is that this is the relationship that we should have with God. This is the example that is set forth, that shepherds care for the flock. They feed, water, and shelter them. They protect them from threats, and they restore those that stray. I mean, that's a message all in itself right there. I'm not even going to go into that piece. But the shepherd was pivotal, and they would have a close relationship with their sheep. And so when you see what was happening with Elijah, as he would do these big things, as he would step out in faith, as he would be the voice of God, He would encounter the Lord as his shepherd when he needed rest, when he needed to return from the front lines. God would care for him. He would protect him. He would set him up in a nice van down by the river and give him some food. But he was being a shepherd for Elijah. Our fulfillment doesn't come from what we do, but who we follow. And we see this in the story of Elijah. It was never about the great things he did, especially for him. It wasn't about that. He would speak the word of God and stand before kings and call them to repentance and then run away. He knew that he needed the time with God. That was more important than what he had just done. He did this big display of calling down fire on an altar, and then he ran away. He needed the shelter. He needed the shepherd. He needed the Lord. Now in this series, as you've heard John and the others talk about, the point of these names is that they are the redemptive names of God. Each of these names is very intimately intertwined with the work of Jesus in our lives. There are lots of names for God, but these seven, these ones that we're focused on, really call into the work that Jesus did on the cross. And when we look at John 10, we see that even Jesus told us about this, the name Jehovah Rohi. He says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I'm always amazed when we can look at verses and quotes and things like this and know that he knew what was going on long before we did. He knew that we were going to enter into situations where we were going to need the power of God, where we were going to need to experience his presence, but he also knew that we were going to need to see him as the shepherd, that we were going to have to lay down these things in our lives and make sure that we are receiving the care and attention that we need from God. And so he would say, I am the shepherd. And just so we don't try to confuse it with anybody else, the shepherd will lay down his life. Who else has laid down their life? Who else? He went to tremendous lengths for us to understand that he is there for us, to care for us. Now, one of my favorite parts of this story of Elijah is this quote that I had you say. Because after he flees, after the fire coming down on the altar, after that, when he's running, God says to him, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? I feel like it's making sure that you know you're not just running from the things that you're scared of. You can run into my arms, but you need to be sure that what you're looking for is a shepherd and not just an escape. You need to know that if all you want to do is get away from the bad things, that's not going to work for you. You need to make sure that you are running to someone who will care for and protect you. He says, what are you doing here? And not only that, he goes on and tells him, go stand on the mountain. And that's where he brings his presence. He goes in the wind. He goes in the earthquake. He goes in the fire. And then he's there in the whisper. And when Elijah stops, when he's confident that he's in the presence of God, he asks him again, so what are you doing here? That's the question I think we all need to be asking today. When we want to understand the Lord as our shepherd, you have to ask this question because it's something that drives so deep into who we are and the things of our being. We have to understand, each of us, all of you in your chairs right now, what are you doing here? Are you here just because it feels good to go through the motions, because you like standing up and singing? Are you here because you would like for God to change something bad in your life? Or are you here because you are desperate for the presence of God, for him to show up in your life as the protector, the provider, your healer, the person who cares for you? Are you here because you need his presence? What are you doing here? feel like something's missing, like you don't have what it takes, or you're missing something. Your fulfillment is not about what you do, what you have. It's about who you follow. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is our shepherd. Jesus did everything to make sure that we had a refuge. We had somewhere to run, somewhere we could be safe, someone we could be secure in knowing that was looking out for us, providing for us, protecting us. And so hopefully you're wondering, all right, that sounds great, but how do I do it? How does the Lord become my shepherd? And I've got 10 quick keys to tell you. I'm just kidding. I don't have that. Those are always my favorite. I'd be like, man, we're halfway through and you got that many keys? Okay. I apologize. I'm not going to get invited back. The reason that we need to understand who God is that we have to enter into this relationship through submission. All right? Just look at the person next to you and say, you got to tap out. It's kind of a UFC reference. You may not, but you got to tap out. You have to submit. You have to allow God to be the Lord. If he's truly our Lord and Savior, if he's who we say he is in our lives, that means that he can be a part of every area. He can speak into anything in our lives. And not only will he do that, he'll be there as our provider and protector. He'll be there for the healing, for the rest, the restoration. But we have to allow him to be God, to be the Lord. We have to submit. And that's it. Too often we want to hold on to these areas. We want to say, I'm not ready for that one. Yeah, I'll come and I'll worship. Yeah, I'll give. Maybe I'll volunteer. But you can't touch this area of my life. I'm holding on to that one. And whether that's you don't think that he can handle it, maybe you think you're justified in holding on to that peace. The only way to experience God, to experience Jesus as our shepherd, is full submission. Now, I love Psalm 23, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but there's something that happens in the middle of this psalm. You see, there's this turn that takes place. When I go through it real quick, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, that he makes me lay down. He leads me. He restores. He leads. And then it takes a shift. David, as he was writing this, I don't know if it was something that just happened in the moment and he realized, but he changed how he was talking about God. And it changed into, even though I walk, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You see that the tense changed. He went from saying, he does this, to you. He went from talking about God to talking to God. And he says, you are with me. You comfort me. You prepare a table. You anoint. He is talking to God. He is calling him into this relationship. He is bringing God close. The shepherd has to be close. And that's the moment that happened with Elijah on the mountaintop. In the whisper, God was close. This turn happens. And that's the point of submission. You go from talking about the things that are happening in your life. Lord, why don't I have enough money? Lord, why is this not working out? Why didn't I get the job? Why is my family the way they are? Why can't I seem to catch a break? Why can't I have the things that I need? Why am I sick? Why am I here? And when you can change that too. But Lord, you are still good. But Lord, I know you care about me. I know that you are with me. I know that you will give me the strength. I know that you can provide the healing. I know that you will walk with me. I know that you are there for me. We have to stop talking about God and bring him near so that he can be with us as we submit to him. As we allow for him to enter into these areas in our life, we are drawing him closer. We have to lay down our pride, our control, our desires. Elijah had to be shown where God was in those moments. He had to show up in all of these ways. He had to bring him into that presence. And we need the same thing, because when the Lord our God is our shepherd, we'll experience that life of grace and mercy through his protection, his provision, his love, his guidance, his healing. Everything will be there. When we draw near and allow the Lord to be our shepherd, and so I don't know if this will help you, but one of the things that has helped me is I kind of just did a little interpretation of this psalm. It helps me connect a little more with what's going on. Like I said, I've used this verse and been a part of funerals and services that have used it, but this helped me just kind of make it a little more real in my life. And so I want to walk through this with you, because I think that it can help us see this in a new way. And so I wrote these words: the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Now, I know that there is a translation that says I lack nothing, and I love that as well, but I want to stop here for a minute so that you understand as we're walking through this. When you see this verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need, I'll tell you personally, that's one for me. I can be a guy that wants to accumulate stuff sometimes. I like the gadgets and the toys and the trinkets and the things. And I need to hear that I have all that I need. There's nothing more I need to buy, nothing else I need to acquire. There's nothing more that will make it any better or different than it is. If I have the Lord as my shepherd, I have everything I need. And there might be some of you out there that might connect a little bit with the other one, that I lack nothing. You see, because I know that for some of us, there's a striving that happens in life, that we feel like that if there was just something else there, that we might be a little better off, that if we had a little bit more money, that if maybe we were just a little better situation or had a different job or went in a different location or had different friends or a different situation. But what we need to understand is there's nothing more. You don't lack anything. The Lord has to be our shepherd. And it goes on, it says that he shows me the rhythms of rest and healing. And if those are not two things that you know how to pursue in your relationship with God, this is the place to start. God set apart from the very beginning, when he created earth, he created the Sabbath. On the seventh day, he rested. That was the first day for us. We need to be able to set that aside. In the same way that you're offering your tithe is a way of you giving obedience in the financial arena to God, doing this with your time is the same thing, showing that you are not a tool of production, that it's not about what you can do or you can provide. It's not about what you can offer or give. The Lord only needs your obedience. So we need to integrate the rhythms of rest and healing into our lives, making sure that he has control even over our calendar. He restores our soul. He restores our soul. He instructs us on how to live and represent his kingdom. You see, because when Jesus was here, he gave us two things we need to do, right? To love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, right? And then we take that and we preach the word. We take it into all kingdoms. We baptize those and teach them everything Jesus commanded us. He shows us what it looks like to do that, regardless of the society that we're in or the culture we might be a part of or what political party we represent or anything we might be in. He is the one that gives us the instruction on that. And when I'm experiencing the darkest places in my life, whatever that looks like for you, the darkest places of your life. For Elijah, he was running away from people that wanted to kill him, those that wanted to do us harm. He wanted to get away from the spotlight. He didn't want to be where he was at. In the darkest places of your life, you don't need to be afraid. because God is there with you. If we walked through our lives as if God was with us every single moment, how much would be different just in our regular interactions? If we knew that in those times where we were worried or afraid, where we were experiencing stress, not that we won't start experiencing some of those, but if we knew how to bring God into those moments to say that, God, even though I'm afraid, I ask for you to bring your love into the situation. Even though I'm stressed, Lord, give me your peace, like Kurt talked about. Lord, no matter where I'm at, if I'm not sure of what's next, Lord, that I would have faith in you. We're comforted by his guidance and correction. And I tell you what, there's a lot of people that need to reread that one. Comforted by his guidance and correction. Sometimes we need to be brought back in line. Sometimes we need the voice of God to speak truth into us. And sometimes it doesn't sound the most loving. It's a call to repentance. He provides nourishment in the midst of our battles. When the storms of life are raging, he prepares the table. He says, sit down. He says, take a load off. You need not fight here. Rest and find restoration. Your hand is on my life. You are a blessing that I carry with me, and I'm overcome by the favor and love that I experience. The fact that we have God with us is a tremendous blessing. That we as followers of Christ can know him in such an intimate way, that we have the Spirit inside of us, that there is no barrier between us and God, that we are made right and holy by the blood of the Lamb. This is an amazing blessing that we carry with us. I will surely continue to experience your grace and mercy and live in the presence of the Lord forever. How many of you want that to be real in your life right now? How many of you want to see God be that shepherd? And so I'll ask again, what are you doing here? What are you doing here if not to find ways to grow closer to God, if not to find ways to allow him to be Lord of your life, if not to give everything of yourself so that you can experience the love and blessing, the provision, the protection, the healing that can only come through Jesus? What are you doing? So I want to close just with a couple of questions that I hope you'll just take a minute and consider here. And the first one is just, is the Lord, is Jesus your shepherd? He could be your Savior. But have you allowed for him to be so close, to be so near that he can care for you? That he can protect, that he can heal, that he can provide the nourishment in your life. If you haven't allowed for God to be your Lord, to be your shepherd, start there. Say, God, I want for you to be the Lord of my life. I want for you to shepherd me, for you to care and love, to be responsible for, to speak truth to. I want for you to be my shepherd. And here's a question I think we can all take with us. What areas of my life am I keeping from God's shepherding? What areas of my life am I keeping from God's shepherding? It is so easy for us to wall off, to contain, to hide, as if that were possible. If there's a place in your heart or your mind that you haven't fully given over to God, if you're not seeking out in every area, whether that be just your relationships, finances, interpersonal things that are going on, your private sins, whatever area, if you haven't allowed God to speak into that, what areas are you keeping from him? I want to share this verse out of Ezekiel with you just because I loved what it said about how God pursues us. It's Ezekiel 34. It says, I myself will search for my sheep and I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he's among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all places where they've been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries. And I will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountain of Israel by the ravines and in the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture on the mountain heights of Israel shall be grazing land. There they shall lay down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. What does it mean to have a God who is pursuing us to that degree, saying, no matter where you go, how far you've gone, as bad as you think you've had it, I will still come for you. I am here. I am the Lord your God. I am the good shepherd. I have laid down my life for you. Jesus did it all, and he is calling us into this relationship with him. We need to lay everything down, submit it all, so we can experience his power and presence. He will lay or lead us in just the amazing work. Show us the rest. He will take us into those places we need to go. And all we have to do is submit to him. I want to invite you to stand. Because I love at our church, I get an opportunity to just pray a blessing over the people as they go. But I want to ask that you hold on to those questions. Every time you walk in these doors, ask yourself, what are you doing here? Because the moment it just becomes about the ritual, just about going through the motions, we need to readjust. But the moment we're ready to submit to Jesus and allow him to be our shepherd, he's waiting there for us, open arms. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to end with these words out of Hebrews 13. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, I equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. God, I pray that you would bless these people. Do an amazing work in their lives. And Lord, we just ask that you would just walk with them. Lord, that they would experience your presence in every interaction, every conversation. And Lord, that they could lay down their lives for you. Lord, pour out in them your purpose, your passion, and your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, if you guys need anybody to pray with you, I'd love to invite you to come up. Thank you so much for letting me be here. Why am I here? And is the Lord my God, my shepherd. You guys have a great week, and I'll see you next time. Thank you guys so much for being with me today. And I hope that you've learned a little bit about Jehovah Rohi. The Lord is my shepherd. And I just want you to continue to ask that question of yourself. Is there any area in my life where I am not allowing God to be my shepherd? Submit to him and go about your ways in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Well, come on, somebody. That was a great, great message by Mr. Kilgore himself. Yep. I hope you were encouraged and blessed by it, as I know we were.
Absolutely. And I want to personally invite you back next Sunday.
That's right.
Because I am honored to have the privilege to speak in one of these messages. Like, yes, I get to take the Peoria platform.
That's right.
And share what God's been doing in my heart and what he's been doing on our campus and out in Canton, but also share one of the seven redemptive names.
Which one is it?
Of God. And it is Jehovah Tsidkenu, which is God, our righteousness.
That's right.
And be sure to invite somebody. Get here yourself. If you're online, we'd love to meet you. I'd love to hear your name and meet you. And I put this challenge out
in person.
I put this challenge out to people on our campus. I want to meet you and know your name. And then next week, challenge me on it.
Ooh.
Because names are important.
Oh.
And that's the one thing we're hearing, the names of God. And those names are important. And your name is important too. We'd love to see you back.